Following the Way, Acts 6, verse 1 to 8, verse 3. In the fall of 34 AD, as the community of Jesus continued to grow, the Greek-speaking members complained to the Hebrew-speaking members that their widows were being overlooked during the daily distribution of resources. The 12 representatives called together the whole community of apprentices and said, "Now that the community has grown so large, we are not capable of being responsible for both the distribution of resources and the teaching of the way of Jesus. Therefore, brothers and sisters, look for 7 men among you who faithfully and obediently walk in the way of Jesus and the Creator's Spirit. We will flexibly shift things around and appoint them to take care of the distribution of the communal resources. Then we will be able to commit our energies to prayer and the preaching and teaching of the Word of Jesus." This idea and solution was pleasing to the whole community, so they chose Stephen, who was filled with the Spirit of Jesus and lived with profound trust in the Creator, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, who was a convert from Syrian Antioch, to fill the role of distributing the communal resources. A significant portion of these men were Greek speakers themselves. The 12 representatives gathered around these 7 men and placed them into this role through prayer. After this change in the community's organization, the way of Jesus continued to spread, and many more in Jerusalem left everything behind to join the community of Jesus. This included a good number of temple caretakers, which began to threaten the structure and order of life in Jerusalem to its very core. Stephen, demonstrating the generosity of Jesus in his life, began to be a vehicle through which the Creator's power was arriving upon the earth in miraculous ways among the people. Many unfaithful Israelites from all over the Roman Empire began to oppose Stephen and tried to shut down his work. But they were not strong enough to withstand the power of the Creator's Spirit, which was guiding Stephen in word and deed. So they gathered together some witnesses who said, "We have heard Stephen attack the law of Moses, and therefore the Creator himself." They called together the people, the patriarchs of the most powerful families, and the biblical scholars. Then they arrested Stephen and brought him to trial before the Sanhedrin Council. Various witnesses came forward saying, "This man refuses to stop attacking the temple and the law of Moses. We have heard him claiming that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy our sacred temple and change the way of life which Moses handed down to us." Staring at Stephen, all those on the Sanhedrin Council saw his face and suddenly realized they might be staring at a messenger from the Creator. The Roman-appointed leader of the temple caretakers said to Stephen, "Are these accusations true?" Stephen answered, "Fellow Israelites, I beg you to listen and pay close attention. The Creator of all things was seen by our ancestor Abraham while he was dwelling deep in the heart of human civilization. The Creator said to him in the 12th chapter of Genesis, 'Drop everything and leave this land and your family to follow me into the wilderness and wherever I will lead you. It is in the wilderness and not in civilization that you will find me.' So, after Abraham left the Babylonian Empire, the Creator eventually brought him into this land, into the one in which you are now living. The Creator did not give this land to Abraham to own, nor did he make him a powerful ruler over it. Instead, the Creator simply promised that he and his offspring, even though he was childless, would live in this wild land. The Creator then warned that Abraham's offspring would go astray from the path of faithfulness, become outcasts and exiles in someone else's land, and be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. The Creator said in the 15th chapter of Genesis, 'I will bring my judgment upon the empire that enslaves them, and then I will bring them out of their slavery to civilization so they can pledge their complete allegiance to me in this land.' The sign of the bond and relationship between the Creator and Abraham was circumcision, a symbol of new creation and the submission of one's very core to the Creator's will. Therefore, when Abraham had his son Isaac, he circumcised him on the 8th day. Then Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob fathered the 12 patriarchs of our nation. One of these 12 sons, Joseph, was sold into slavery in Egypt by his jealous brothers. But the Creator did not abandon Joseph. He rescued him from all his oppressions. Joseph eventually found favor in the eyes of the ruler of the Egyptian empire, who exalted Joseph as a ruler over Egypt. A great famine then came upon all of Egypt and the land of Israel, leaving our ancestors without food. Hearing that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob's trust in the Creator buckled, and he sent his sons to get provision from the Egyptian Empire. During one of their visits, Joseph recognized his brothers, which caused the ruler of the Egyptian Empire to suddenly understand Joseph's origin. Joseph then asked his father, Jacob, and all 75 of the living family members to come to Egypt so he could provide for them. Jacob gave in to this temptation and left the land that the Creator had given them. They moved down to Egypt, where he and his sons all died. Because they knew moving to Egypt was unfaithful and disobedient, they had their bones relocated to the land of Abraham after they died. As the centuries went by, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, and the time of the Creator's promised deliverance approached. A ruler arose in Egypt that did not know Joseph. This ruler increased the oppression and exploitation of our people to the point of genocide. He began to destroy the people by killing their male infants. During that time, Moses was born, and the Creator had mercy on him. Moses was nurtured by his family for 3 months. But after he was thrown out to die, he was taken in by the daughter of the Egyptian ruler, and she raised him as her own child. Moses was taught all the wisdom of Egypt and excelled in their way of life. But as Moses was approaching the age of 40, he became aware of his people and wanted to look out for them. One day, Moses saw an Israelite being mistreated, and so he stepped in and followed the wisdom of Egypt by killing the Egyptian slave driver. He assumed his Israelite brothers would see that the Creator was using him in this way to begin setting them free from slavery. But they did not see it in this way. On the next day, Moses saw a couple of Israelites fighting with each other, and he got between them, saying in the second chapter of Exodus, "Men, you are brothers. Why are you fighting with each other?" But one of them pushed Moses away, saying, "Who made you a leader and judge over us? Do you want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Hearing this, Moses fled from Egypt and settled in the wilderness, where he had 2 sons. After 40 years of being cleansed of Egypt's way of life, the Creator came to Moses in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. There, Moses saw a bush on fire that was not being destroyed. While Moses was marveling at the sight, the voice of the Creator spoke to him, as it is recorded in the 3rd chapter of Exodus. "I am the Creator and Lord of your ancestors, the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Trembling with great fear, Moses could not bring himself to look at the burning bush. The Creator said to him, "Take the sandals off your feet, for the ground of the wilderness is sacred and holy. I have seen the oppression and destruction of my people in Egypt, and I have listened to their struggles. So I have come down to rescue them from slavery. Now follow me, for I am sending you into Egypt." So Moses, who had already been rejected by his people, was sent by the Creator to lead the people out of slavery to civilization and into freedom. Moses brought them out of slavery in Egypt through the waters of the Red Sea and into the wilderness for 40 years. The Creator's miraculous power was with Moses at every step. This Moses said to the children of Israel in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, "The Creator will bring a prophet like me from among your brothers that you must listen to above all else." Moses was also the one who encountered the Creator in the wilderness on the top of Mount Sinai. There in the wilderness, he received the Creator's living words that he shared with you. But our ancestors refused to listen and pushed away from the Creator in order to pursue the ways of Egyptian civilization. They said to Aaron in the 32nd chapter of Exodus, "Make for us some gods like the Egyptians, so they can lead us, protect us, and provide for us. For Moses brought us out from Egypt, but now we don't know what has happened to him." So they made a golden calf in those days and sacrificed animals to this human-made god. They began celebrating the works and technologies of their hands. The Creator turned away from them and gave them over to the worship of their own hands, just as the 5th chapter of the prophet Amos says, "Israel, you were not worshiping me as you butchered and sacrificed countless animals for 40 years in the wilderness. The tent you made, thinking it was for me, was for the worship of false gods of human design. As a result of your continued disobedience, you will be relocated and exiled in Babylon. This tent was with our ancestors in the wilderness, for Moses constructed it, thinking he was listening to the Creator. Our ancestors fiercely clung to this tent and Joshua, son of Nun, brought it into this land. The Creator overlooked this and expelled the nations from this land till the time of David. The Creator was also generous toward David, but David used that generosity to make himself rich and powerful, even building himself a luxurious palace. And then his son Solomon built what he thought was a temple for the Creator. But the Creator does not dwell in things made by human hands, neither tents nor temples. As the 66th chapter of the prophet Isaiah clearly says, "Heaven is my throne, the earth is the footstool for my feet. How can you possibly build a house for me? How can I be contained in a building or a box? It is my hand that has made all creation." You, temple authorities, are defiant against the Creator, and you aren't even part of his true people, for your hearts and ears are closed to him. You are constantly rejecting the work of the Creator Spirit to trust in the work of human hands, just like your ancestors. Which of the prophets who spoke the true word of the Creator did your ancestors not hunt down and persecute? Your ancestors killed those who foretold the arrival of the one who would reveal true justice to us. And now you have done even worse by betraying and killing Jesus, who was the one they foretold. You received the law of Moses from the Creator, but you did not faithfully guard its content or obey it. Hearing these words, the authorities were uncontrollably enraged and furious with Stephen. But being completely filled with the Creator's Spirit, Stephen saw the truth in that moment, that the Creator, with Jesus by his side, had returned to rule his creation. Stephen said, "Look, I am seeing the Creator's truth. The human one and his community are being persecuted by the empires of civilization. But the Creator is rescuing them, and they will rule on the Creator's behalf." Horrified by these words against them, they covered their ears and shouted as they charged at Stephen. They dragged him out of the city and began throwing stones at him. Those who threw the stones laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While the stones were pummeling Stephen, he cried out, saying, "Lord Jesus, take me into your hands." Having been knocked to his knees, Stephen then shouted with a great voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." After forgiving his enemies, just like Jesus had, Stephen fell down and died. The followers of Jesus were greatly grieved over Stephen's death, and they took care of his body. That same day, Saul, who oversaw and approved of Stephen's killing, began a great persecution against the community of Jesus in Jerusalem. He began going into the community's houses and arresting all the men and women he could find. Because the community of Jesus refused to fight back against Saul, they were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. However, the 12 representatives managed to stay hidden in Jerusalem to continue their witness there.